I think I'm a pretty good judge of, like, is this working like Tide used to work? Is this working like right. my Colgate used to work, you know? Or is this totally right. off?
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the local shops, businesses, clubs, and pubs that you always pass by but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host, Lacey L. D. Daly.
Hello. A little staccato there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. What's on the docket?
Our field trip is going to be more inspired by a physical space rather than like a specific business. It's like the location of this place.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little backstory. We bought our house back in 2016, and since then I've been taking Chinden to get down to the station and driving past the old Alibaba hookah bar.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, it had never been open, always shut down. Old signage was still there, though. And let's just take a moment of silence for the fact that that place is closed, because I would have loved to go to a hookah bar for the podcast. But anyhow, so I was driving. It was last fall. I was driving home from work, and I saw folks outside the old Alibaba hookah bar putting up new signage for a new business. And I kid you not, I pulled over to look up this business.
Okay.
But I was so taken aback that something was actually going to go there, and the name of it was intriguing to me.
Okay.
It's Roots Zero Waste Market. Have you seen it?
I have.
You haven't been in because it's not open.
No, I have not been in. And I don't really know. I mean, I think I can kind of gather or surmise.
Yeah.
But what is it?
So it's going to be kind of a different twist on the traditional grocery store.
Okay.
In terms of sustainably sourced, there's going to be local produce. And also their thing is like the bulk section, where you can bring in your own jar or bag and weigh that and then fill things. So kind of eliminating single-use plastic. Which,
packaging, okay.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of. Ever since the city of Boise redid the recycling program, everybody was going through the growing pains of that.
Oh, yeah.
But what it did for me was open my eyes to how much waste there is. Like, there's certain, like, I will not buy grapes if they come in a clamshell for the sheer fact that I can't recycle the clamshell.
Yeah.
So this is personally right up my alley, and I'm super stoked to have something like this coming in locally. I think it's really important.
Yeah, that's great.
And really timely.
Okay, so what's your central concern then?
My central concern, I think, is more of where did the idea come from. I'm curious to get to know the owners. I reached out to them on Facebook and have been in communication with them for a few months now. And Leah, I don't know if that Leah, something like that. She has graciously agreed to meet us at the market and give us a tour as it is. It's not finished. They plan to open later in the spring.
Kind of a sneak peek, eh?
Yeah, a little bit of a sneak peek. I don't even know what's in there yet, but I'm curious to get to know her. And I know she has a husband. And are they in a similar line of business right now? Have they ever been business owners? Mm-hmm. Is this fueled by passion? You know, what's the story there?
Mm-hmm.
And we've also never done an episode on a place that isn't opened yet. It's usually kind of the opposite. It's these places that have been open for decades, quarter of a century. So
yeah, right. And then sometimes we visit and then they're, you know, no longer open.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Did you bring your receptacles, your reusable receptacles?
Well, I always have my shopping bags in my car. Okay. So if there are purchases to be made, we're set. They won't judge us.
All right. I'll have to.
You just hold out your shirt.
Yeah. I was going to say take my shoes off and fill them with macadamia nuts or something.
Yeah, that's good. I like your thinking.
Quick break and then we'll head out.
Sure. Joel, what do a flat roof, a lot of natural light, and an affordable price tag all have in common?
They're all features of a mid-century home.
Wow, good guess.
Well, I do live in one.
Okay, but did you know there's a local business that specializes in selling, renovating, and restoring those perfect mid-bod homes in the Boise area?
I did not know that.
It's true. Mid-Century Homes by Monica Real Estate is the local connection to those affordable and stylish flat-roofed ramblers built in the 50s and 60s.
Neato. So if our listeners want to learn more about Mid-Century Homes,
I tell them to go visit mid-centuryhomes.com and make sure to mention that You Know the Place sent you.
I like it.
So,
so
just pulled up to
Roots Zero Waste Market. They've done a lot of renovating just to the outside. They've kind of whitewashed the bricks, put up their own signage. It seems like they've got some product, at least in their front windows, but beyond that, it might be a little empty.
Sure.
Which Leia, I'm not sure how to say her name yet.
Yeah.
She had warned me, you know, like, sure, I can meet, but we're not where we want to be. But I said, please let me in. I want to know more.
It's such an odd looking building. It looks like an oversized, like a really, really large diner, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This brick facade and kind of the...
It does.
Yeah, yeah, kind of the tin roof. Should we check it out?
Is that all you have to offer? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, let's go check it out.
All right.
Hi. You guys might want to grab your coats.
We're let in the door by Leia, one of the store owners, who tells us we might want to grab our jackets as the heat isn't on inside the building.
We've had doors open in here. I'm like, I'm not heating the outside world right now. So, yeah.
Totally understandable. Yeah. I'm Lacey.
Is it Leia?
Okay. Leia.
And I'm Joel.
Hi, Joel. Nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for letting us come in.
Yeah, I'm excited we're finally doing this. Yeah. It's good.
I've been eager since the day I saw that sign go up.
Yeah, so have we.
I bet. No kidding. I just saw your news on Facebook about the Garden City.
Our permitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of different permitting processes that you have to go through, and this is our second one.
Fun.
So this is for the inside of the building. The first one was for the outside of the building.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading about a certain amount of trees you have to plant.
That's right. Yeah. 17.
17?
A miniature forest.
17.
Do bushes count?
60 bushes.
Okay, so separate from bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's a tree requirement. There's a bush requirement. It's based off your overall surface area and the parking lot. And so it's like for every 50 feet, you have to have a class 2 tree, or you can balance that with the equivalent of some bushes. So on the Osage side, where we really don't have, it's really not a street, that's where we're going to put boxes in with lots and lots of bushes to try and make up for the tree count that we can't get back there. So, you know, we get creative, and the city was creative with us too, so it works out.
So that's how it is I feel like you can drive by plenty of lots here
different.
That don't have any trees.
Yeah, I think they've been trying to do, you know, greening up the city. Unfortunately, it's on the business owners.
So anyhow, what's going to be going on in here?
Yeah.
We should probably clarify, we're standing in a very open but empty space.
Blank slate.
Yes, yeah. Very blank slate.
Just to paint an even clearer picture, we're standing in a totally open space with white drywall and concrete floors. It's about half the size of a Rite Aid or Walgreens, and when Leia says it's a blank canvas, she means it. In fact, the only thing in the space is a single folding table with some letters for the marquee out front.
This building's been around since before the 50s, and it's been several restaurants. It's been, you know, lots and lots of different things. And so honestly, for us, it's perfect because all that old stuff has kind of been old carpet, old, you know, smoke on the walls, all the old stuff that used to be here. It's really, since the hookah bar fire, it got, you know, it's all been replaced.
So there was a fire.
There was a fire, oddly enough,
strange.
In a hookah bar.
You never hear about that. You always hear about the safety of hookah bars, but never about the fires.
That's right. So, yeah, there was a pretty significant fire. They had to replace all the HVAC and the electrical.
Oh, wow.
There actually used to be a kitchen where we're going to put a kitchen right back into it, but they took all of that out because everything was damaged in the fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's transition into your concept.
Yeah.
What's the idea here?
So we are a package-free, plastic package-free bulk market cafe. It's really a standard bulk market. We sell grains and pulses and pastas and flours and baking stuff. We also will sell household and personal care items in bulk, whether that's refillables or a single-use, non-plastic items. So, like shampoo bars, right?
Yeah, bath bombs. Kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Or whatever you need. Like
that chapstick you gave me with the cardboard.
That's a card. Yeah, that's cardboard.
Yeah.
Cardboard contained deodorants. You know, anything that's packaged that can be compostable. And then we'll have fresh flowers and fresh fruits and vegetables from local farmers as much as we can. And then, in the deli. The deli is here because there are a lot of zero waste markets that are popping up that just do the dry goods, right? That don't often incorporate even the fresh vegetables. We're doing the cafe because, well, we love food, and my partner's been in the food industry for 30 years, so he's great, and we always love to create with that. But it's really so that we can cover out our zero waste closed loop food waste system, right? So food waste is really important to us. Plastic waste is really important to us. Mm-hmm. Both of those things we're trying to eliminate. And as a business, if we follow that model and we have consumers that are following that model, we can make a really significant dent, like thousands of pounds a year we'll remove from the landfill, from our recycling system. So that's really what the market serves to do, is to, the cafe will buy from the market, and then we'll use those items in the deli to prepare fresh foods.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, and we'll have local dairy and really just anything that you might find in a grocery store. We're just only in, 3,000 square feet, really.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's just a micro grocery, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that way also we can, you know, this is our flagship store. We hope to actually bring roots to other communities around the region. And really that's to fill this food insecurity gap, right? I mean, I think it's clear that Garden City, even though it's called Garden City, and back in the 1800s and 1900s, it was, full of farms and really fed Boise. There hasn't been food security here for many, many decades. So we want to bring that back to this community. And then we also want to look out at other communities and see where we can do it. And it's a small enough footprint that we can just plop it in, right?
Yeah.
So
that's
our
manageable.
Goal. Yeah.
Leah next takes us on a virtual tour, showing us where the variety of displays and venues will reside in the market space.
So we're standing at the entrance right now, and off to my right will be, it's in this taped off area right here. This is the checkout stand. This is where we do all our fun business. On the left-hand side, we actually are subletting to an apothecary that will carry all sorts of herbs, fresh herbs, and tinctures and things like that. It's called the Vervain Collective. So they're going to be leasing out about 900 square feet of our space. Cool. And so it's like a shop within a shop. So if you've been to Europe, it's kind of like, you get these communal markets that you walk inside one, and then all of a sudden it opens up and you've got these really cool spaces.
There, up on the bench, there's one called Chow now that has multiple kind of venues inside of it.
So similar to that, yeah. So we'll have that, and then if you walk down the path a little bit, past Vervain Collective, this is our community room, and we'll be putting in a big roll-up door, I think, between those two outlets. There'll be a large roll-up door that looks out onto Bogus Basin, actually. This is our community area where we'll do education. It's open to nonprofits to book for free so that they can have community-hosted events here, and it kind of just gets the community in, anybody who's working in a social justice, or the kids down the street at the Boys and Girls Club or Answer or Idaho Rivers United, any place like that. Some of the partners that we've already talked to, anybody's able to rent the space.
Cool.
And then we'll hold, just classes on the weekends and things like that to bring the community in too.
Leah shows us some artist renderings on her phone, helping reveal the future design of the space. She sent the renderings to us later, so we'll be able to show some on our site.
But this is basically our apothecary. You'll see lots of glass jars and things like that you can fill. We're using reusable materials for most of our countertops through a company in Boise called Waste Equals. Hmm. They've got like marble and brick and all sorts of really crazy cool stuff that you can use for commercial construction.
Cool.
And then where the art is, we're actually reserving some space for all the Garden City artists, and we'll rotate art through. We're working with Jody Eichelberger at Searle Mitchell, and we're trying to come up. He came up with this idea that was really clever called Art by the Pound. We're going to see if maybe we can make that work, right? We're a bookstore, and they have art, and maybe we can make Art by the Pound work. Because really, art's part of your daily, should be part of like your daily life, too. So.
I think so, if we're talking about a balanced lifestyle. Yeah,
and it represents the community, right? I mean,
Absolutely. This
is the Live, Work, Create district, so that's a good portion of the Create that we're all here, that Searle Mitchell started, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we move on down. There'll be a big round centerpiece here for canned goods and glass jars and that sort of thing. This whole back wall is our coup de grace. It's our bulk wall. And we'll have a dairy cooler here. We'll have all of our grain bins and bulk bins over here. And then we'll have our oil filling stations. So like olive oils, vinegars, anything that you would buy that's really in liquid. And then we'll have this great kind of like old post office looking
Oh, yeah, almost like the card catalog.
Yeah, it does look like a card catalog. So that's where all the spices will be.
Oh, nice.
So we really tried to maximize our space here to pack as much in as we can.
So what's, for people who are huge fans of the Winco bulk,
yeah,
how is this similar but also different than kind of the initiative there?
So same, except we will never hassle you about bringing your bags or your glasses in or whatever you need to, right, to do. That's not against our policy. And I think they're trying to be better about that. It just maybe sometimes depends on who you get. But
I can bring my own jar in here?
Yeah. That's our whole, I guess I should have mentioned that. So, yep, if you can fill it, you can use it. So it's a weigh, fill, and pay. We make it very easy. So you'll see in these pictures there are weigh stations. So we've got two or three of them set up around the market. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you weigh it yourself, so you don't have to come to me at the checkout station and get all your stuff weighed,
right?
Or wait in line to get all your stuff weighed, right? You just bring it in, you weigh it yourself, you slap a label on it, you fill it, and then we'll take the tear off when you come up to, it's called tearing. So we'll take that weight of your container off when you come up to check out.
Yeah. I do that with my food scale.
Yeah.
I tear my container.
With the bowl or that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. No, I like that.
Yeah, so we make it really user-friendly for everybody to come in. The other thing is we're non-toxic, right? Mostly organic, so I'll just qualify that by saying that some things that are being grown are not certified organic, but they're just as good as organic. And so really to us, it's important for us to know where our farmers, where our food's coming from. And we'll also have QR codes on everything so that you as the consumer can take that all the way back. You know where either our distributor is coming from or you know where the direct farmer is coming from.
That's cool.
And that really is full transparency of where your food's coming from, right? So I think it'll be maybe higher quality than something at Winco. It's probably on par with what you'd see at the co-op.
Yep.
Next, Leia tells us about some real NASA-style future tech that helps produce stay fresh without chemicals or refrigeration.
And Contronics is a system, they've developed this system called Dry Mist, and it actually keeps your vegetables fresh longer without harmful refrigeration. Refrigeration's really hard on your veggies. So it keeps everything fresh for up to 14 days longer.
Wow.
It also provides an antimicrobial that, you know, if you're dealing with mushrooms that are straight from the farm, it just kind of gives that extra layer of protection. It gets rid of salmonella, 98% of salmonella, all of those things. And it's just by charging the water with electricity. So it's totally natural.
It's not like spraying, chemical on
it's
it
just spraying ionized water.
Yeah.
A lot of what I'm curious to know is your story, and I think a lot of the concepts and stuff that you're going to employ here are fascinating, but did it require a whole lot of research too? And I mean, is that you guys doing it yourselves? Do you have business partners, or are you involved in this line of work right now?
Some of it's really happened by happenstance. Like the Contronics, honestly, we were down on the Boise, we were on the Greenbelt, we were listening to music, and we're hanging out all of a sudden with this really cool couple from, we didn't know exactly where, but we knew they were from Europe. And then we just started talking. They said, oh, what do you do? And why are you here in Boise? And so we started trading our stories. And he's the founder of Contronics. And they happened to be in Washington. And they had a friend who told them to come to Boise. And they just happened to be here.
But you just happened
meet
them on the Greenbelt as you're trying to put together this business.
It's really crazy. So, and
seems
we've had
false.
A lot of things.
Seems false,
I know. We've had so many strange things like that happen, which are always, to me, you know, good omens. It's been a long process, and that's why, you know, we found it in April, and it was more just like, hey, let's do the dried goods kind of stuff, and then it was like, okay, let's really round this out and make it a different experience and make it very different from anyone that's doing a zero waste market. So we'll be the first one in the Northwest.
Yeah.
We'll be, I think, the first one in the country that actually has a cafe and grocery and is probably most rounded out.
We talk with Leia a bit about our own experience with recycling, particularly after some of the recent developments in what can and can't be recycled by the city of Boise.
But when the recycling program changed, it really opened my eyes to, well, I don't know if I want to buy these blueberries in this container because I have to throw it away, and part of me dies inside when I do that, so I guess I'll just buy oranges this week, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's super timely and is definitely, for people who care about this kind of stuff, top of mind.
Yeah, and I think even if you don't, everybody has to live with a little, I mean, I'm not going to say it's like super stressful, but to me, it's stressful to go, to pick up something on the shelf that may be in plastic, and I have to kind of make that choice. I'm more mindful about it now, but in the beginning, I was definitely just thinking about, where am I going to put this bottle when I'm done with it? So it's just kind of always, like, for me, it eliminates a lot of stress. Mm. It's like, okay, I can walk into a place, I can see what I'm getting. It's very visible to me. There's not a barrage of brand marketing that's happening, right? And I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do with the packaging in the end. So, yeah, it's kind of like simpler in a lot of ways, more convenient to me in a lot of ways. But I think everybody's kind of craving that, right? Because I know it can be really stressful to walk down a cereal aisle even and just go, oh, my God, everything's screaming at me. Yeah, like, and it's definitely a journey. I mean, everybody's on their own path right now, you know, to get to wherever they're comfortable and what fits their family's lifestyle and their own personal lifestyle. So it's just about having options, really. Yeah. But if you don't have a business that supports you and empowers you and inspires you to just maybe make one small change a day or, you know, just cut out the berries or whatever, or bring the berries in a cardboard box instead, that makes it really hard for you to make any adjustments on your own. And that's something that we really are mindful of because we're consumers ourselves. Yeah. So it's like, it's not all about the individual consumer who has to take on all the responsibility of this complex plastic problem that we have. It's businesses have to show them the way and be supportive of that. I actually believe in the power of this movement so much that I think we are going to work ourselves out of this. I think this one's, if we all get on board, a pretty easy one to fix compared to some of the other climate change issues that we have and environmental impact issues that we have. We can definitely cut down plastic a lot.
The biggest question in this blank slate room.
Yeah.
When?
When? So we hope we can do, you know, and my contractor would probably kill me, but I mean, we're hoping for an under 120 days, right? So that would put us in like May, June. But like I said, we just received our approval. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten the permits in our hot hands yet. We're waiting for those, and I expect them any day. So once that happens, then we can really start. We're also starting an Indiegogo campaign to hopefully fund a third of it. You know, we kind of came to this realization without being independently wealthy and, you know, millionaires. So we have some funders, you know, who have helped us out, and we've put in our 401k savings and, you know, gotten us going, but we need, you know, some help to kind of keep the community or to kind of get this rolling, and hopefully the community will rally around that.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing over the last year and a half before we even kind of started this. I mean, we've been testing everything that we're using. So if we're using it, it's because it's worked. And I used to work for Procter & Gamble, right? So it's like I'm a pretty ultimate consumer of mainstay, like normal, you know, what everybody gets in the grocery store. So I think I'm a pretty good judge of, like, is this working like Tide used to work? Is this working like my Colgate used to work, you know? Or is this totally off?
Last, we feel a need to ask about the big sign out in front of the store, which is, yes, made of plastic.
We actually didn't want a plastic sign, but it is one of the tallest signs in Garden City, and it's grandfathered in. And so even to change it over to a reader board was a problem. So we just changed everything to LED to make it more efficient.
You'll get that kind of stuff from the naysayers about everything that you do, you know. Yeah. Well, this receipt, can I plant it? Will it grow a tree? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, it's not plastic. We won't have plastic receipts. Right. I mean, there's a lot of little things like that, honestly, that go into thinking about this, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
And, you know, I think the big thing is that I'm not shaming anyone. You can bring your plastic bag in if you want.
You won't turn them out away?
I won't turn them away.
Well,
you know
at least
what I mean?
They'd be reusing.
They're reusing. Yeah. So let's all just be a little bit accommodating and understanding and nice to each other about wherever we are on that journey.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not easy to eliminate every single thing.
No.
And and there is no elimination of waste. I mean, it's all happening every day.
This is a relief for me because I thought I was going to have to leave my plastic Trader Joe's bags in my car and only bring the canvas one.
No.
But no, it's okay. You can bring all of them.
No, and we're going to do like a class. You can bring your old like band t-shirts and we're going to do a class on making them into.
Very nice.
We'll like provide sergers and everything.
Oh,
you can make your favorite t-shirt that doesn't fit anymore, which is in my case, into a bag to take to your grocery shopping.
That's cool.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You got to work with what you have.
That's very cool.
We say our goodbyes to Leia and then debrief in the car.
So.
Back in the vehicle.
Back in the warmth. The relative warmth of your car.
Yeah, if it wasn't made clear. The heat's not on in there because it's not open. So.
Right, right. No, no real reason to warm a warehouse up that nobody's
in. It would be wasted energy.
Yep.
So.
Well, it is absolutely, it's a blank canvas right now, you know. But it's fun, though, too, because Leia obviously has such a vision for where, I mean, she knows exactly where everything is going.
Yeah.
You know, over here is where there's going to be a garage door that opens up into, like, this kind of event space thing, and then this is going to be a apothecary, and then here's a cafe. Some people have a talent
vision,
for doing that.
Yeah,
for being able to be like, this is what I see, and this is where it's going
to
be.
To a normal person, it's like, okay, we walk in and it's still empty, but I think because all of the hard work goes on behind the scenes, where you have the designs, you have to get the, you know, people who are going to get the material there, and then you have to get it approved by the city. Yeah, so everything kind of gets stuck in that bottleneck, and now it's almost like once you get the permit in hand and you have your designs ready, now it's kind of home free.
Yeah.
I mean, this place will be bustling in no time.
It makes me kind of excited for when it opens, because then it's like, oh yeah, this looks so, just to be able to see, I guess, the before and after.
Yeah, we've never been able to do that.
No, not at all.
Okay.
All right, quick break, and then we'll head back to the studio.
Sounds good.
Hey, You Know the Place listeners, if you're into fun, quirky podcasts, and we know you are because, duh, you're listening to this podcast, well, then consider checking out Wanna Know Idaho, another podcast from Boise State Public Radio. It's hosted by reporter Frankie Barnhill, and it's fueled by curiosity from listeners. Yeah, that's you. Just search for Wanna Know Idaho wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Roots Zero Waste Market.
Yes.
Thoughts, things that may strike you.
There was not a lot in there to strike me. No.
That's a good point. Yep.
Actually, no, my first little thing is it's not super audible, but you and I shared a handful of moments each of kind of like, oh, or wow. It's always fun to be able to hear our organic reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really enjoyed the change of pace that came with spotlighting a conceptual business, or at least a business that has yet to open its doors. I think that's because everything feels eternally optimistic and hopeful, you know, because it's like, yeah, this is our plan. And we can, and not to say that none of it or all of it or some of it will or won't come to fruition, but I was kind of also equally as excited, like, yeah, okay, that sounds great. I can't wait. What about you?
I guess the first thing that I was thinking of, it passed by so quickly. I could have sworn when we left there that we were there for 20 minutes. It was an hour. It was like we were there for an hour, and I couldn't believe that we had just chatted for that long. But Leia was one of those people that was so easy to form a rapport with.
Oh, yeah.
What about your central concern?
My central concern was, where'd the idea come from? Mm-hmm. You know, like, kind of what's the story here? I was curious to know more about the people behind it. And I think that we did get an answer to that going there. We got great insight into Leia's background and her partner's background, and just basically their devotion to this mission of eliminating or at least reducing single-use plastics here in our community. And I think that she said it herself that they're not independently wealthy and they've cashed in their 401ks just to get this thing off the ground. And I think that goes to show how much they're willing to risk to make an impact.
Right.
And I can get behind that. Like, I'm on board.
I'll also say, too, it really surprises me that this is not a thing. I mean, I know it's becoming more of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a desire for this. It's out there. Why aren't we, you know, in the habit of bringing our own containers? You know, she kind of talked about this, but I think that if this were more of a top-down corporate-led movement, we would get on board. I think we would. I think if Albertsons or Walmart said, we don't do plastic bags and you have to pay a dollar or two for your reusable canvas tote, people would start bringing their canvas totes. And money talks. Final takeaways?
Okay. I would like to be transparent because out of the gate, I was a little worried about this episode. And you know this, obviously. Yeah. I express this to you. But, and I knew all this ahead of time, I should also put out there. Leia was very transparent herself But the building was literally empty. White walls, concrete floors, heat off. There's no sound to capture. There's no pictures to take, really. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to even incite or strike conversation other than what we came here to do. Mm-hmm. There's not some funny-looking parrot hanging out over the side or whatever, you know. So not,
or snakes or, naked people.
I just... Oh, and also we only had one person to talk to, you know, one voice, and that happened to be Leia. Lucky for us, she turns out to be a fantastic person and are really well-spoken and, again, super passionate about what she's doing. But even after we talked to her and after we did our debrief in the car, we turned the recorder off and I was like, is this going to work? Like, can we do this?
Yeah.
And my fear of it being maybe too one-dimensional. And it's all out of this fear of that, like, I find this stuff super interesting and I found Leia really captivating. But is that selfish? Like, are listeners going to feel the same way? Is that worth turning it into a full episode? Like, what if our listeners don't care about recycling? Or what if they just don't think twice about it?
Right.
Is this going to turn them off? Are they going to stop listening?
You know, I had those same concerns too. But I think it was telling that, like you said, we turned off the recorder and both you and I were like, yeah. And it really leads into my final takeaway, which was it just makes me excited to see it finished, mm-hmm. to see the before and after, which we've never gotten to do before.
No, it's our first time. You're so excited your voice is cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Pardon my soapbox moment here, but after like thinking about it, I was like, you know, this is an important enough issue that it deserves a little bit of airtime, regardless of what you think about it or how active or not active you are. And also, I think that Leia is just an incredibly impressive local business owner who is thinking beyond her business, beyond going to the bank and cashing a check and being incredibly lucrative. She's wanting to make this a better place for all of us to live. And I was like, at the end of the day, who can't get behind that?
Right.
Regardless of your thoughts on climate change, recycling, et cetera. Like, can't we all just agree that we want to make it a better place?
I like that. That's good.
Sure.
I'm usually the really positive one, but you're really positive this time, and I like it.
Oh, don't get used to it.
All right, Buffalo.
Oh, gosh. You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kendall and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at You Know the Place. And just a reminder, consider taking that podcast listener survey. We want to know that you're listening and that you care and that we can help you better. Go to boisestatepublicradio.org/podcast survey. And thanks this week to Leia at Route Zero Waste Market for showing us the ropes, and we can't wait to see it open.
Tenderums, reach out to me.